Welcome to the Boneyard with Steve Robertson. As always, I am your good friend and host, Steve Robertson, here on the Maroon Friday edition of the Yard. A little bit later than I wanted to be, but it's been a busy day. I'm working on a couple things. Don't know when they'll be ready, but they'll be sooner rather than later. But working on a couple of big stories that will take some time to kind of flesh out. A lot of interviews, a lot of fact-finding. Got a big important call on Monday. So hopefully next week I'll have a story ready. We'll make it free for everybody, even though it's going to be an exclusive type piece that hopefully will unveil some things about college baseball. But be looking for that. And again, we'll just go where the facts lead us. Right, that's the important thing. You got to go into this with an open mind. And as over the course of this, over the course of the last week, my mind and the facts have taken me different places. So, interesting type stuff. But and also got a tip later today about something related to another sport in the Southeastern Conference. So I don't know how long that's going to take to flesh out. But nevertheless, there's never a dull day around here. There's always something going on. And just yesterday, on Thursday, we had another prospect camp at Mississippi State. The small school 7-on-7 and an OLD line camp will have the final camp of the summer next Thursday. And what's interesting about these camps, so much has changed, right? You remember, you long-term recruit Knicks, you know, Big Dog Camp was like the biggest event of the year. Right? And when Dan Mullen started that, he basically kind of copied what they did at Florida with Friday Night Lights, which became kind of an innovative event. It's like, hey, we're going to get the best players. We're going to get our commitments here. We're going to get the best players in the Southeast to come and compete under the lights at the Swamp. So when Dan came here, we began to add that. And Dan had some policies. Like if you were committed to Mississippi State, you were required to come to Big Dog Camp. If you didn't come, they pull your scholarship. That's how serious it was. And so we'd have all of the commitments together with many of the top targets, along with some juniors, and occasionally a sophomore or two, but you had to be really, really dynamic, right? I mean, it wasn't just an invite-only thing. But it was the biggest event. And we did it in July, just before fall camp began. But man, the recruiting calendar has changed so much about prospect camps. There are always some seniors-to-be that attend these camps trying to get on the Mississippi State radar. But by and large, the top prospects in a particular class as seniors, they're taking official visits this time of year. So they're not attending camps. You know, in many respects, the new recruiting calendar for football has negated the benefit of the senior year. Because most decisions by big-time schools are made in the springtime. And that was the thing years ago. Everybody's like, well, you know, guys are committing at such a rapid rate. We want to slow things down. What do? We just speed it up. And again, that's the byproduct of the early signing period that really accomplished nothing of real benefit. And again, now we have the gift of hindsight. And I remember Scott Kennedy and I, when Scott and I both worked for Scout.com, Scott and I began to kind of research some of this, talk about the if-then type scenarios. And our opinion was that the early signing period, all it did was expedite some things, I guess you could say. But the reality of it is it sped the process up more because essentially all we removed was about 2 to 3 weeks of recruiting. And we talked about it on the show before. And so to save a little anxiety with these in-home visits and official visits in January, we moved it to December. And then we said, well, for players that have an elongated season and the playoffs run deep into December, they're not getting a chance to take all their visits. So let's move them up to the summer. In the first year under Joe Moorhead, we didn't do any summer visits. The next year we did a few. We kept a lot of it in season. But now what's happening is the prospect camps are basically focused on juniors and sophomores. And so we went out yesterday, and we have covered every prospect camp this summer. Last weekend I was in Athens. Jacob Bain covered for us here in Stark Vegas. It is still an important part of what we do. We want to identify the prospects and get some good art and get some profile pages built and have you guys a chance to kind of introduce yourself to them. But the reality of it is many of you are not really worried about juniors. A lot of you aren't even worried about seniors. And there are some of you that aren't even worried about high school recruiting until we get closer to signing day. That doesn't mean that we can just take the summer off. We don't. But it's interesting how so much has changed. I remember a time, and we discussed this with Jacob Bain yesterday. I remember a time right when Dan Mullen first got here. And Dan wanted to know why we didn't recover, like, we didn't cover junior days. I said, well, we're not allowed. He goes, well, everybody else is doing it. I said, well, you know, we have to do what Mississippi State wants us to do. And I remember the first year that Mississippi State allowed us to just come observe, like we could come observe camp. And that was around summer of 2009, I guess, 2008, 2009, maybe earlier than that. But anyway, so we could not interact with recruits. We couldn't take pictures of recruits. We couldn't interview recruits on campus. And so we just kind of pushed the issue when Dan got here because Dan saw things the way we did. And there was a competitive disadvantage situation in place in the state of Mississippi. And that was the impetus for us to bring change. Because you could go to Ole Miss for junior day and then all their media people were there. They'd take pictures. They'd have post interviews. They could go to camps. And so basically the Ole Miss intelligentsia was smart enough to say, hey, let's use this to our advantage. And so they were telling kids, hey, it's just a bigger deal to come to Ole Miss. You go to Mississippi State, the media is not even there to cover you guys because Mississippi State's a small program. And that was what was used against Mississippi State. To Mississippi State's credit, and I give Dan Mullen a lot of credit for this too, they leveled the playing field. And so we removed that hurdle. And, you know, the junior day events are just not what they once were, right? Nobody brings the big cattle call junior days really anymore. But now the prospect camps are changing. So, again, things continue to evolve, but we're here to still give you information about recruiting because when it gets to November and December and these young men get ready to finalize their decisions, those that don't decide in the summer, we need to have a relationship with them. We need to have good pictures of them. We need to have an opportunity to follow them throughout the season and see if they play their way into an opportunity at Mississippi State. And so it's just an observation, you know. But I think because of the recruiting calendar, in some respects, the NCAA has kind of unknowingly lessened fan interest when it comes to high school recruiting, especially of the summer camps. And again, not that we're going to back off our coverage because we enjoy doing it. And many of you enjoyed the fact that we do. And matter of fact, this year, we're the only ones doing it. But I share that with you just because of the fact that I think there are things people always wonder, you know, what's going on behind the scenes. That's something that I don't think that the casual fan maybe has kind of caught on to, that so much is changing when it comes to the recruiting calendar. And again, it all hinges about that early signing date. You know, outside of the early enrollment guys, I think everybody should still sign in February. I think we should still have official visits every weekend in January other than the AFCA convention. I think coaches should still be able to have in-home visits postseason. You know, that was always the fun thing, right? The Saturday after the Egg Bowl, like who did the coaches go see first? Because Ole Miss and State both were like, hey, we're going to hit the ground running. And we're going to make these guys feel like a priority, right? So who they went and saw first, and then we'd recap the in-home visit, right? We'd call and talk. And then sometimes they'd have State and Ole Miss the same day. It was a lot of fun to cover that stuff. But, again, a lot of that, I think, in many ways, has been kind of taken away from you. So just my opinion on the topic, but, you know, it's always worth talking about. Hey, let's thank our friends at Bulldog Burger Company, longtime sponsors of the show, and we love them. We love them. We don't just like them. We love them more than just a friend. And one of the main reasons why that we love them is it's great food at a great price. Great atmosphere, great locations, great service. It is just an absolute testament to greatness. There's a lot of people out there that are offering you mediocrity and calling it excellence. And I don't just mean in the food industry. But the thing that I love about the Eat With Us group, whether it's Bulldog Burger Company or Harvey's or the Central Station Grill or Sweet Peppers Deli, every bit of it, they always try to set the standard with exemplary service and great selection, great presentation of your food. You just simply can't go wrong by doing right. And doing right is eating at an Eat With Us location. If you've got some Mississippi State students or perhaps faculty in your life, maybe consider getting an Eat With Us gift card. You can go to eatwithus.com. You can order that. Let them have a night out on you. How cool is that? How thoughtful of you, right? But for you, if you're in town or on the way to town, there is a Bulldog Burger Company location for you, right? University Drive here in Stark Vegas, Gloucester Street there in Tupelo, Lake Harbor Drive in the Ridge and Flowood area, and you just never know where they may go next, right? But have the spring rolls as your appetizer that make you and everybody around you better looking. We all need more of that. And then you pick out your own favorites. You know, and again, I'm still hung up on the smash burgers. I think I'm going to just beat it in your head. Try the smash burger. It may be something that changes your order routine, right? And then, of course, that Bischoff cheesecake and get that chocolate shake to go. You can ride that ride home with a smile. Bulldog Burger Company, the place where people go to meet. M-E-A-T. Okay. We have our second big official visit weekend this weekend for football. And as you guys know, two weekends ago, we had 9 visitors. Right now, we're expecting 10. 10 visitors. And so let's kind of preview kind of what we have and what we've seen. Probably the biggest name on the board is Kelsey Adams, an offensive lineman from Fairburn, Georgia. He's a product of Langston Hughes High School. He is ranked a 90 by 247 Sports, but the composite is almost a 95. I mean, so he is a very solid offensive tackle prospect, currently ranked as the number 13 offensive tackle in America and the 122nd player overall in the country, regardless of position. Now, he's currently committed to Georgia, but there's some chatter out there that he's actually backed off of that commitment but just hasn't gone public with it. And we've had some other guys, this week that were scheduled to visit us that the committed schools have kind of shut things down. You know, like, hey, if you take that visit, we got to pull the offer. And they're like, oh, okay, cool. Adams, again, 6'5", almost 300 pounds, very athletic offensive tackle. You know, Georgia wouldn't have committed him in the first place if that wasn't the case. LSU was involved, Georgia Tech's a little bit involved too. We'll see how things kind of play out here, but man, wouldn't that be a big get for Mississippi State? Yoshon Hudson, we had a chance to watch him last year and didn't know anything about him. I mean, he'd basically been a defensive back his whole career. They move him to offense. And, guys, I'm going to just tell you this. I love going over to Winona to cover a high school football game. I do. Number one, it's close by. Number two, they always have talent. But number three, those concession stand hamburgers, the best in the state of Mississippi. I'm just saying it for what it is. But, man, everybody over there treats me so well. When we go over there, I always, anything that I need, right? Hey, you want this, you want that? Everybody's great. And honestly, when I think about really how that should be handled, I think Winona sets the standard. There's some great ones out there, don't get me wrong. I'm not talking trash about anybody. I'm just kind of highlighting the folks and the staff at Winona. The fans there are great too. But the thing that I have learned is, like, when there are prospects out there that have a coaching staff that helps promote them, whether they're a committed prospect or an under-the-radar prospect, when you have a coaching staff that can work with us and other people like us in the national college football recruiting media, the person that benefits the most is the player. The second group that benefits the most are the other players, right? Because all of a sudden they see, hey, if this happened for Yoshon, if this happened for TJ or Tyler or Fat, well, Winona is clearly on the radar at 247 Sports. I'm going to get seen every year. I'm not going to get overlooked. And that's kind of what happened with Yoshann Hudson. Shortly after we went to that game, you know, we're there, obviously, to see anybody that can play. You know, we saw Winona and Grenada again, and I hope that that rivalry continues. But, you know, Zay Cotton was playing in that game. And so, again, we don't know anything about Yoshann. Guys, he was absolutely incredible. And as much as I like Zay, I think Yoshann was the best player on the field. And I think I called him Zay Hardy, but it's not. But Yoshann was outstanding. And then all of a sudden, the spring was really kind to Yoshann as he began to kind of get out and make himself visible. And everybody's like, holy smokes. I don't know what this guy is, but he's a football player. He is an SEC football player. And I fully expect Mississippi State to get a commitment from him sooner rather than later. Matter of fact, while we're here together, let's put our money where our mouth is. I'm going to go ahead and put Mississippi State in as the favorite to get him. So crystal ball pick. Hold my hand. I just clicked the send button. But, yeah, I think Yoshann does it. I think he'll thrive here. Is he a running back? Is he a defensive back? Does he grow into a linebacker? I don't know. But I know this. He is a winning football player, and we need as many winning football players as we can. Kyron Caldwell out of Lake City, Florida, a product of Columbia High School, not the same Columbia High School I went to. He is a young man, too, that he has a visit scheduled for Alabama next weekend. Right, and so that's something to kind of consider too. Hey, we're kind of recruiting in the same ponds here. He also has offers from Auburn, 24 offers, but Maryland hosted him last weekend. State doing it this weekend. Alabama next weekend. I kind of like our odds against Maryland, but it's one of those things too with Alabama. Maybe the gap is narrowing a little bit, but I like the fact that we have player visiting from out of state that also is on Alabama's radar, if that makes sense to you. And again, we may not get him. Stanley Peters, interesting guy here, has taken visits to Houston, Arkansas, will see State this weekend, and is scheduled to visit Ole Miss next weekend. Now, I'm told, as of now, it's down between Arkansas and Mississippi State. He is a product of Seminary High School. We've had some success down there. Those young men raised on Ward's hamburgers. You know, so what could go wrong there? But I wanted a better cornerback prospect. This episode is brought to you by BetterHelp. And for some, summer is their favorite season of the year. Travel picks up, kids are out of school, adventure becomes a focus. For others, juggling it all can be tough. It could be overwhelming. Then they start counting down the minutes until the kids are back in school. And you feel like you're wasting all these days of beautiful sunshine. We plan to get out and have some fun as a family too, but we plan to thrive and not just survive. Therapy can help people better understand their needs and feel more confident setting boundaries and create a version of summer that actually feels good. BetterHelp has over 30,000 therapists. It is the world's largest online therapy platform, having served over 6 million people globally, and it works. With an average rating of 4.9 out of 5 for a live session based on over 1.7 million client reviews. BetterHelp therapists work according to a strict code of conduct, and they are fully licensed in the United States. The reality of it is you need to learn how to say no. You don't have to say yes to everything. Take advantage of BetterHelp and take charge of your summer. You don't have to say yes. Find support in therapy. Sign up and get 10% off BetterHelp.com. That's Better, H-E-L-P.com. In the state of Mississippi, currently rated as the number 24 player in the state, but a guy that's maybe not as long and lean as some other guys, but he's not necessarily a squat corner. He's a guy that does have some length to him, and I don't know that if he doesn't grow into a free safety when it's all said and done. I like where State sits with him, but I'm not ready to call that one, and I think that's an important thing. Let's just be honest about that. Offensive tackle Jalen Hill, a product of Lynette High School over in Alabama, 6'5", 295-pounder, right? And you love the size of these guys, right? And that's the thing. I think that's the Phil Loadholt experience, right? That's the affect that he brings is he's kind of recruiting guys in his own image. Bigger, physical, athletic guys. Now, Hill is a guy that's obviously in demand. He took an official visit to Arkansas, to Kansas State, and then now we'll head to Mississippi State and then Missouri. Pitt also in there too, but I think in the end he probably stays somewhere closer to the South. Again, we're kind of competing with Arkansas here. And he's a mid-level three-star guy. And I see these people on social media, oh, we're going to get another three-star guy. Guys, he has 20 offers, right? And most of them are from the Power Five. And so sometimes the rankings are incorrect and get adjusted later in the process. But if we get Jalen Hill, that could prove to be a good thing. An addition that we've added here recently, another offensive tackle, Judah Gums. Out of Armwood High School in Sefner, Florida, 6'6", 290 pounds. And again, just kind of fits the Phil Oldholt model, right? He has visited Syracuse and Arkansas. He's expected to visit Mississippi State this weekend and then Tulane next weekend. And that's Cody Kennedy, you know, our friend that is on him. And kind of got, Tulane's kind of doing a good job with maybe some of these guys in the SEC that maybe are not – LSU, Alabama, Georgia type players. And so if we want this kid, I think we got to beat Arkansas for it, but it'll be interesting to see how the visit goes. Aiden Coleman out of Louisville, Mississippi, a guy that we've been waiting for Mississippi State to offer. And then he comes to camp and 7-on-7 camp, he was just so-so, and then had a really good individual workout. He's set to visit State this weekend, Alabama next weekend. He's got 8 offers, including State, Ole Miss, Alabama, and some G5 schools. But a guy just down the road, and I wonder a little bit, like if Alabama is playing kind of the calf-cow deal with Mitchell Turner a little bit, like, hey, we'll take your buddy, Aiden Coleman. I think Aiden Coleman's good enough to play, period. But again, this is a young man, too, that is just really kind of beginning to come into his own. And I could absolutely see him in the Mississippi State class. Nash Morgan, a name that you guys should know. That's the son of former Mississippi State headhunter Josh Morgan. I fully expect him to make his decision this weekend or shortly thereafter. He has 8 offers, including one from Dan Mullen at UNLV, the service academies, and some others. But let's just kind of be honest with this. You know, Coach Robert Morgan, all 3 of his football playing sons came and wore the maroon and white. Nash has grown up with this. Obviously, you know, Josh is not going to push him. Of course, Josh, I'm certain, would love to see him in maroon and white. But I just don't get the sense that Josh is going to say, hey, you have to do this. I think it's just going to be one of those things. It is Nash's decision, but I suspect that it aligns with the family's wishes because they're all Bulldogs. And I remember Nash's uncle messaged me last year. He's like, hey, can you do anything to help us? And I said, yeah, we'll get a profile page together. And I did it really just to help the Morgan family because I love those guys, right? And then I saw Nash play in the state championship game, and I'm like, this kid doesn't need our help, right? This kid can play. And he is being recruited as a safety. He's listed as a quarterback, but we do expect him to be a safety. I joke with Nash the other day, tell your dad we got to work on that target area because the things he did all are considered targeting now. But, we're excited about Nash. And, I don't think he's Bray Hubbard. I think he's kind of maybe a poor man's Bray Hubbard. But I remember when Bray was coming up out of Ocean Springs, people kept telling me, this guy, I don't know what he's going to be, but he's a great athlete. And I think Nash is cut from the same cloth. Probably has to kind of develop a defensive mentality a little bit just because of the fact it's a little different when you're the guy delivering the blow than taking the blow, right? And, Nash probably needs a redshirt year, but I don't think he'd be opposed to that. Just need some reps, right? Just need practice reps and just kind of learn the nuances of the game. I think the other side of it, too, is when you've been a quarterback, you know how quarterbacks stink. And so I think former quarterbacks can be great safeties if they can develop the defensive acumen required to play safety in the Southeastern Conference. Juju McDonald committed this week, and he's going to officially visit. His initial plan was, I'm going to just announce it on the visit, and then he's like, let's just go ahead and put it out there. And so we did, and very happy to have him. He is another guy, too, 6'2", 170 pounds. We talked a little bit about him earlier this week. We talked about the commitment, but a handful of offers, but you know, State took him, you know, basically over some G5 and some FCS schools. But, guys, I'll tell you this. Jacob told me there was not a better defensive back in campus for camp last week. Absolutely incredible. And so I think this is, again, we talk about the need for these prospect camps. This is a guy here that maybe his offer sheet was beneath his ability, so he bet on himself. And rather than just say, yeah, I'll go to South Alabama and get my education paid for, he goes, you know, I think I can play in the SEC. I at least want to go give myself the opportunity. Shows up, does a great job, 6'2", 170 pound, and just kind of built like the Mississippi State corners of late have been. Kevontae Pitts out of East Nashville Magnet High School. He's another corner, too. I have not seen him play, but he's another guy, too, that we're got over a dozen offers, but we're mainly competing against G5 programs. He is set to visit Memphis next week. I think this may be a situation where if Mississippi State says come on, he comes on. But, you know, we'll see how things play out. And, again, once you get guys on campus and have a chance to kind of interact with them and their families, you just get a sense of is it a good fit or not. And I think that's where Mississippi State is with some of these guys. Now, next weekend is the really big weekend. And we will update this list throughout the week, next week, as we begin to, you know, speak to recruits and just kind of confirm their plans. But right now, 19 visitors scheduled, a lot of those from the state of Mississippi. And what's interesting, too, like we talk about in-state recruiting and things like that. And I do think it's a good class. I wouldn't say it's like a star-studded class, even though there is some value at the top. But Mississippi State has 13 players currently scheduled to visit or have visited this year, 13. And so, you know, kind of looking ahead the next year, next weekend, you're going to have basically a lot of your commitments on campus with some of the priority in-state targets. I think those things matter. I do think, even though there is still the rev share and NIL component to all this stuff, I think the esprit de corps that in-state players have sometimes, like I think sometimes that can prove to be a tiebreaker for a lot of them. And again, you know, 13, and we've had one visit already, Frederick Ford out of Greenwood back in May. And then we'll have four in-state prospects on campus this weekend and, you know, probably eight or nine next week. And again, there'll be some guys that may opt out of their visits, but going to be a good group. And, yeah, we're excited about it, you know. And so those of you that have been like, man, well, you know, I just wish something good would happen in recruiting. Listen, I hear you. But I think it's one of the situations, too, where if you're Mississippi State, you don't want to overcommit a bunch of guys and then have to drop guys later. And you got to save some room for the portal. You know, you don't want to be in a situation where you've got to go run a bunch of guys off because you've got immediate needs in the portal. But State currently with 10 commitments. We expect it to end up somewhere around 25. And I think what you're going to see, too, is you're going to have some guys, too. We talk about, you know, hey, the developmental piece is not what it once was. And there's some truth in that. But I think you take some of these guys, too, and if they're willing to come with the understanding that we're not going to pay you on potential. We're going to pay you on production. You come in here, you prove yourself, you get some playing time, you make yourself more valuable. Well, then you're entitled to a little more rev share. And so you're going to have some of those guys that may think, okay, well, I know that I can go to Mississippi State, or at least I believe that, but I'm going to go see if I can't go shop and see if I can find something that maybe I can get some rev share as a high school player. And that is a similar philosophy around the country. In the beginning, everybody was like, well, everybody needs to get something. But everybody's gotten a little bit wiser. And I give Ole Miss some credit here, which, you know, I'm always kind of reluctant to do. But they have basically used the NIL and rev share model basically to kind of mimic the NFL model. It's like, you know, you pay your best guys the most, you know. Nick Saban's model initially with NIL was we're going to just evenly split it among everybody. Nobody's more valuable than anybody else. That just doesn't work. And we've seen that, right? And again, how can you argue against the results that Ole Miss had under Lane Kiffin? So I think maybe we were a little bit behind the curve with that. And I think we've kind of caught up. And so as a result, you're going to see some guys that you think should automatically commit that delay the process is because they're still shopping. They're still shopping for the best option, the best NIL rev share type package. So just because a guy doesn't commit to us now doesn't mean that we wouldn't take him later or that he wouldn't commit to us later. It's because of the fact if you know that you're happy with a deal, you take it now, right? And what's incredible about this is we've even had some guys, you know, over the course of the last couple of years that even after they've signed, they want to go and renegotiate a deal, you know. And a lot of that, too, is because you've got so many of these third-party agents involved that are just basically kind of hustlers, right? They're just kind of people out there that are just trying to enrich themselves at the expense of these kids. And that's why we need regulation. We do. We need regulation. We need licensed agents. And listen, I'm not against anybody going and getting a license and being on file with your state. But I think it's important that you have that rather than third parties that really don't have a lot of education about the process. They're just kind of holding schools hostage. We got to eliminate that aspect of it. Like there has to be some level of security for the school. And that's people say, well, I want these kids to get paid. You know, I do too, right? I do too. But I also want there to be a situation where we're not too student athlete conscious and we haven't overcorrected. And in many respects, we have, but that's where things sit. So that's your official visit preview. And again, I think we get a commitment or two out of the weekend, but I think next weekend's going to be a lot of fun. I really do. I think it's going to be a ton of fun next weekend. So make sure you stay locked in with jeanspage.com. You can sign up for 60% off the annual subscription price right now. That'll carry you all the way through baseball portal and all the way through next year to Omaha, through football season, through portal season for football, men's basketball, everything. You just won't have to worry about it. We're going to give you daily content every single day. We're going to give you most days 10-plus stories about your Mississippi State Bulldogs. And we invite you to come join us. Nobody covers Mississippi State like we do. All right, time for today's top 10 list. As always, brought to you by closewithblair.com, C-L-O-S-E with Blair, B-L-A-I-R.com. That's the name to know in mortgage loan origination. Guys, you just never know when life's going to throw you a curveball. Maybe it's a relationship change, a job change. Maybe you need to be closer to family for one reason or another. I don't know your needs, but I know who can help you with that. That's Blair Chandler. Save his number in your phone, 601-500-2344, 601-500-2344. And maybe you've never had the joy of owning a home, and it's been a lifetime goal of yours, and maybe you've been turned down in the past. Well, Blair may be able to help you. He's helped many others. And if you're not ready, he can put you on a plan to get ready to buy a home, right? They're very innovative with lending these days. So maybe you're having trouble saving up the down payment. Maybe you're just tired of being on the hamster wheel of renting, paying somebody else's house note. This gives you a chance to put some roots and build some generational wealth. Put your money in a big house. You'll be glad you did. Blair rides the wave of Bulldog emotion just like you and I do, but he takes all comers, right? And I know we have some rival fans that listen to this show. He won't discriminate against you either. And again, that's Blair Chandler at closewithblair.com. Okay, by request from another Motley Crue fan, he says, Greg says, Steve, you just did the Tommy Lee collaborations. You've done Nikki Six collaborations, and you've done Vince collaborations. Can we get Big Mars collaborations? Well, I don't know that I've done Vince collaborations. I think I've done Vince solo stuff, but to answer your question, yes. Yes, we can do McMars. Now, it's not as extensive as Nikki Six. There is a collaboration they both worked on together with one of the biggest names in American rock history. But there's some cool stuff, man. A lot of people say, well, there's no Motley without Mick. And I don't know if that's true. But I do love Mick Mars. I think he is probably the most underrated and underappreciated guitarist of my lifetime. And you go back and think about Wildside and Kickstart to My Heart and Looks a Kill. I mean, it's just so raw. So if you love the Mick Mars sound, I think you're going to like these songs too. Number 10, and this is a band that maybe you're unfamiliar with that you should be. It's Black Smoke Trigger. Black Smoke Trigger. And Mick collaborated with them on a track called The Way I'm Wired. And from start to finish, it sounds just like you'd expect with Mick Mars. And it is an absolute banger of a track. If you like kind of that classic rock sound with kind of a modern take, this is for you. Number 9, a band called Crash Diet, and they're a band that has had some issues. They had a singer, of course, that elected to move on from life, and they disbanded and then reformed with a new singer, but this goes back to the very beginning. And I don't know Mick's connection to them. Not really something that I'm privy to, but they had a great debut album called The Unattractive Revolution, released back in 2007. We're going to have a couple tracks from that album on this list, and we're going to go with the first one, I Don't Care. There's a lot of that in rock and roll. I Don't Care. Number 8. Now, what's interesting about this one is she was on the Rock Revolution show. I think that's what you call it. I don't remember exactly. But yeah, it's Delana, and if you don't know much about her, she is awfully fun to look at, but she's also incredibly talented. Kind of has this maybe a rock Bonnie Raitt rasp in her voice, and this track is very interesting. It starts as an acoustic-type ballad, and then it builds and builds and builds, and it's, of course, Mick Mars playing some guitar in the rockier part of the track, and it's called The Question. It's off her debut album. Number 7, back to Crash Diet, another track from them called Alone. And again, this is, it's a banger. They're kind of punky in some respects. It's not like regular rock radio, but I think you'll enjoy them. Now, the new singer, I don't like quite as much, but I do think that's a band, maybe if you're just kind of looking for something fresh, maybe give them a spin. Number 6, and we're going to just branch off into some country stuff here, and this particular artist has done multiple tracks with Mick Mars. Corey Marks. I told you guys before, he is a Canadian country guy, but he has an edge. And a track called Make My Country Rock. And Mick Mars plays the guitar solo on this track. And again, it's got a little bit of a country element, but a rock edge to it. And there's a lot of fusion in music these days, but I think this one absolutely works. Number 5, we mentioned there is a track on this list that was a collaboration with Nikki and Mick with a rock legend, and it's Alice Cooper. And the track is Die For You. Nikki and Mick helped write the track. And, of course, Alice Cooper, a very staunch advocate for recovery and rock music, and he's done so many great things to help so many young artists. And he and Nikki have been great friends for many years. You guys may remember, if you've watched The Dirt, that'll be in Regal Theaters one night only, June 27th. The only Regal Theater I know of in Mississippi is in Brookhaven. And I don't know if they're going to have The Dirt and Motley Crue Uncensored. They're going to play it like it's a double feature. If you guys are going to do it in Brookhaven, let me know. I may make the drive down, right? But it's, when they did Dr. Feelgood, everybody in the band was sober. And so a lot of that kind of transcended over. Alice Cooper kind of became a mentor for Nikki Sixx, who remains sober to this day. Number 4, and this may surprise you a little bit, but it's around the time when Motley put out Saints of Los Angeles. And they have like the gang vocal with some modern rock stars singing backing vocals. One of those voices was Jacoby Shaddix from Papa Roach. Well, Mick Mars returned the favor and played the guitar solo on a Papa Roach track called Into the Light. And it is unmistakably Mars. I think you'll really enjoy that. I like P. Roach, and I think Papa Roach probably deserves more respect than they get. Many of you know the hits, but man, there's some great songs in their catalog that never got played on the radio. This is one of them. Number 3, Hinder went out and toured with Motley. And then all you know, the next thing you know, Take It to the Limit. Of course, everybody knows that first album with Lips of an Angel and all that good stuff. And Homecoming Queen. There's a lot of good tracks with Hinder. And on the second album, Take It to the Limit, it's Mick Mars playing the guitar solo on that track. That's a self. That's the title track from their second album. I like Hinder too. I like the new singer okay, but not as much as the original. But Hinder's done a lot of good things over the years. Number two, and I have shared this song with many people, and I say this is the most Mississippi State song that I know of the rock genre. But this again is that country rock thing. We're going back to Corey Marks. And it's a great, great track that Travis Tritt contributes to and Ivan Moody from Five Finger Death Punch. And then there's Mick Mars playing the guitar solo. I love the song, man. I love putting it on in the car. I do my best not to drive fast, but it's difficult. It's called Outlaws and Outsiders because that's who we are, right? And when you think about it at the end of the day, if you don't know this track, I encourage you to go listen to it as soon as the show is over. Go look it up, Corey Marks, Outlaws and Outsiders. There's a couple of versions. There's the one with Mick and without Mick. The one with Mick is even better. But I love the track. I do. Absolutely love it. But number one, and I love this band, and I've met Lee and some of the other guys in Pop Evil, and Mick helped write this song and collaborate and then plays the guitar solo on it. It's Boss's Daughter. I don't know if you guys are familiar with that track, but man, you talk about a wild ride. Absolutely love the track, love the video, and it's just so crazy that you know, to see these guys have the opportunity to collaborate with people that that maybe were inspired by them. I think it's a cool thing, and I love Pop Evil. I know other guys, you know, maybe think, well, you know, Steve, they're just okay. I just disagree. I disagree. I think it's incredible that these guys are really kind of old school in many respects. But Jessica Hinton plays the boss's daughter in the video. If you don't know Jessica Hinton, be careful with your Google search because there are some not safe for work images, but an incredible track, and it is my favorite Mick Mars collaboration, and it's one of my favorite Pop Evil songs too, and the fact that Mick is thrown in, it just kind of makes it a bonus. And Boss's Daughter, man, you talk about a track that will get your motor running. It's incredible, and I love the album. I love the performance of this thing, man. It's just every bit of it just kind of scratches me, you know, where I itch. But it's one of those songs that if you don't know it and you put it on, you're going to be like, how in the world did I miss this? Like, how did this never happen for me? And it's difficult to describe what a great driving song this thing is, right? I mean, there are a lot of songs out there that will kind of have you pushing the pedal a little bit. And this is absolutely one of them. So be sure and check that out. If you have ideas for the top 10 list, reach out, let us know. The best way to do that is to hit up my friend, Roy Samanti, at Dogmatic67 on X. DawgMatic67. You can find our great list on Spotify under that same handle. He gets behind a little bit, but he'll get caught up. And but even if you're not waiting on Roy, I would say give that Corey Marks Outlaws and Outsiders a chance, whether you're a rock fan or a country fan or just a fan of music. And then Boss's Daughter from Pop Evil. It's just absolutely incredible. And it's one of those things, too, look, when you put these lists together, there is some symmetry to this, too. Like the stuff that I love obviously goes at the top of the list. I like to start with a banger and end with a banger, and we try to avoid covers when we can. Sometimes it's inevitable. There's a cover that's just so good that we have to include that. But I hope I did the list justice And I don't know when we'll be able to do Motley stuff in the future. And what's interesting, too, like, you know, you research this stuff. Mick actually worked with the band Machina that has some Evanescence in it. Right? Bass player from Evanescence, part of that band. They used to be called Future Leaders of the World. They changed the name to Machina. And also Mick worked some with Escape the Fate. But neither of those bands have released those tracks that Mick worked with them on. You can find some YouTube videos of them all kind of collaborating in the studio and stuff, which is super cool. But if you like Motley and you love Mick, this list is for you, because more Mick is a great thing. But again, thanks as always for your support of the Top 10 list. And we look forward to bringing you another great list on Monday. All right, next segment of the show brought to you by Campus Bookmart, a Starkvillian institution. Man, we love Campus Bookmart. We do. And why? Well, they got the things we want, right? It's that simple. We're simple creatures. When it's gift-buying time in our lives, just buy us more Mississippi State merch. You'll be our favorite person, right? Whether it's apparel, gift ideas, everything you need to detail out your fan cave, you can find it at Campus Bookmart. It is like a Mississippi State Bulldog fan's heaven. You walk in there and there are so many things you want to get. You got to kind of talk it back a little bit, right? You could drop some serious coin in Campus Bookmart. Next time you're in town, go by and see their smiling faces. You'll be glad you did. It's never too early to think about football season. Got to get some new gear. Don't want to wear the old stuff. Yeah, going to have some hot weather early on. You'll be thinking about that T-shirt. Maybe a breathable polo. Yeah, you can find all that at Campus Bookmart. If you can't make it to town to see their smiling faces, visit them on the World Wide Web at campusbookmart.net and use promo code BSR. That stands for Beautiful Steve Robertson. That gets you free shipping on all orders over $75. Any order less than $75, absolutely incomplete. All right, we got some portal news, and we have picked up a closer. That's big news, right? Aren't you guys excited about that? Because every time we get a hitter, everybody's like, hey, can we get some closers? Can we get some bullpen guys? Well, we can do both, right? We can, and we have. Mississippi State adds former Memphis Tiger closer Carson Fair. He is a product of South Haven, Mississippi. Prepped at South Haven High School and then spent his time at Pearl River Community College for Coach Michael Avalon. PRC obviously one of the better teams in the country in the junior college ranks. And, yeah, a couple of good years there, right? And ends up going to Memphis with Matt Reiser. Matt Reiser, of course, a native of Poplarville, Mississippi, and also a product of Pearl River Community College. And so that's an easy relationship to build. And Fair tells me, you know, it's difficult because of his relationship with Reiser. But at the end of the day, he wanted to win. And he knew that he could win at Mississippi State. It also gives him the opportunity to play Southeastern Conference baseball in his home state. That is something that I think is an undervalued benefit that Mississippi State and Ole Miss offer, but certainly Mississippi State from a facility standpoint. But Carson Fair went 1-1 this year with a 3.51 ERA, 25 and two-thirds of an innings pitch, and guys, he earned 10 saves, right? Wouldn't that have been wonderful if we'd have had a guy close for 10, right? It'd been incredible. But he allowed just 15 hits, 10 runs on 15 hits, 28 strikeouts, 18 walks. The walks are a little bit high for me, right? Got to get that down a little bit, and that's a control thing, but we got to get that handled. But batting average against was just .172. Yeah, so not giving up many hits, well less than a hit per, but when you start working in the walks there, you can see why that ERA was maybe a little bit higher than you'd want it to be. And what's interesting, too, that this Memphis team didn't win a lot of games this year. And it has taken them a little bit longer to get going than I think Coach Reiser expected. They went 24-34 this year. I don't know how many save opportunities he had, but think about that for a second. He closed nearly 50% of their wins, right? So pretty important there. And, of course, he earned a win in one of them and picked up just one loss in the whole thing. But Yeah, good numbers. And, you know, again, we need some more bullpen pieces. We picked up a couple already, and now the Bulldogs are at four NCAA transfer portal commitments. And so Fair just went in the portal like yesterday. And shortly after going in the portal, he got a couple of SEC opportunities. And your pitching coach, Justin Parker, was on him pretty quick. He hasn't even visited campus. That's how sold he was on Mississippi State. He's like, I can't pass this opportunity up. And so he went ahead and jumped on it. And I don't know who the other SEC team was. And the truth of the matter is I didn't ask because it didn't really matter to me. Now, he's not going to play summer ball this year. He tells me he's just going to work out and start getting into his own throwing program to just kind of get a little bit bigger and faster and stronger and just kind of work on some things mechanically. And the thing that I have learned about Justin Parker, and Tico Valencius had kind of shared this too, there's a lot of things that Justin Parker prioritizes that a lot of other pitching coaches don't. A lot of that is movement on the mound, making guys athletes on the mound. And Tico said he certainly benefited from Justin Parker's tutelage because there were things that he'd never even considered, things he never even worked on. And I think that also shows the relationship that Brian O'Connor has with Justin Parker, that he respects him and the way that he gets these guys to just kind of move more. Nate Dohm kind of told me a little bit about that too. He's like, there's just so many things that he does to kind of get you more comfortable on the mound, getting down the slope, not wasting motion, things like that. So it'll be interesting what Parker can do with Fair. That's a great development for Mississippi State baseball. It absolutely is. I mean, you get Zach Russell, who is a guy that has been, you know, a career middle relief guy. Now you got a closer to go with a couple of hitters, and we're nearly halfway home. Nearly. It's going to end up somewhere around 10, and we'll keep working, obviously, of course, to keep you guys apprised of that sort of stuff. But three official visitors last week, four this week. And everybody always asks for names. And I want to give you guys a little bit of a story here. So a few years ago, you know, we're digging for everything we can get, right? I'm calling friends that are at the Cape. Hey, have you seen Mississippi State's coaches up there? Oh, well, you have. Oh, well, who were they there to see, right? And so then we report all that stuff. And there was a relief guy we were trying to get the same year we got Nixon. And Tennessee basically used our reporting against Mississippi State. They're like, hey, well, they've already got a closer. They don't need you. And so anyway, the guy ends up signing with Tennessee, but he gets drafted and signs. But ultimately, we kind of made a deal, right, that we wouldn't go dig for that kind of stuff. I know that there is a tremendous amount of interest in this stuff, but I also know, too, like in the last couple of years, a lot of people like will go like see who our coaches follow on social media, that sort of stuff. And then they just assume because we follow them that we've offered them and that we want them and their priority. And then when they commit somewhere else, people are like, oh, well, what happened? Well, it wasn't a real situation. And so what we're trying to do is not deal as much in rumors as we can. You know, sometimes there are things that pop up and we have to address those things. But I just want you guys to kind of understand, we're not going to go out there and put Mississippi State baseball at a competitive disadvantage. We're not going to do that because nobody covers Mississippi State baseball as extensively as we do. And so there's nobody out there from LSU that's chasing a lot of portal stuff. There's nobody from Auburn out there just chasing a ton of portal stuff, right? And so when we're reporting every little thing we hear, I think it's one of those things we just kind of had to make an administrative decision that even if we get beat on a couple things, that I can live with that. I hate losing. I hate getting beat on stuff. I do. I'm the ultimate competitor. Every day that I wake up, I'm thinking about what do we need to do to win today. And so we work extensively to provide you guys the best coverage, and we always will. But that's one of the reasons at times I'm a little reluctant to put things out there. And so I just want to kind of address that. It's because I think it's important that you guys know. And at the end of the day, because I am so incredibly high-strung, I told myself that we cost Mississippi State a player. That's what I told myself. I was like, hey, when we put this out there about Nixon, expecting to get Nixon, and then I can't remember the kid's name. I want to say it was from Ball State, I think. I think that's right. But anyway, that's how I felt. And I felt that I had made our coaches' jobs harder. So I had to kind of change some things, how I felt. And as we get a little bit deeper into this process, of course, there'll be some things and some names that we know that we've got to kind of work through. Of course, like, you know, Wills McGillis is one from Georgia State that we have kind of talked about on our board. And he's headed to LSU this weekend, just so you guys know. Dad's not going with him. They're going to be in Omaha because he's got a brother playing in the College World Series. And so I don't know how much it's going to impact things, right? You'd like your parents to be there, but I also understand, too, it's still LSU, right? It's LSU, one with their history and 8 titles and rabid fan base and that kind of stuff. I mean, you know, there's dads would understand if you wanted to go to LSU, right? It's not like you need mom and dad to be there to sell you on a program. But you'd like to your parents to have an opportunity to see things. But these are not like 17-year-old kids. These are young men that have already spent time on their own. They've been independent. And so a lot of them make their own decisions without a lot of family input. You know, obviously you want the thumbs up from mom and dad. But when you're in your early 20s and you go and say, hey, mom, dad, this is what I want to do, you know, they're going to say, okay, well, let's talk through it. Okay, well, we support your decision. That's typically how that works. So I don't want to overstate the fact that the fact that McGillis' dad's not going with him to LSU doesn't in any way eliminate LSU from contention. And the fact that LSU is involved, obviously, should matter to us, right? Not just because of the fact we'd have to play him, but it also kind of validates our portal evaluation. And he's been to Arkansas and I think Alabama. I got to go back and check my notes on that. But the reality of it is we're on the right guys. And kind of shifting gears a little bit here too, there have been some Mississippi State, former Mississippi State players that have already announced their decisions and have already found kind of a landing spot. You know, I guess that's fair to say, you know. And so Andrew Raymond is one of them. Andrew Raymond now headed to NC State. Yeah, NC State. And James Nunnally recently announced that he's headed to TCU. So that's interesting. And since we have spoken last, Charlie Foster has entered the portal. Probably not a huge surprise. And we've kind of talked a little bit about that on the show before. I like Charlie Foster an awful lot, especially as a young man. It, for some reason, it just has not come together for him in game, in season. He's had some great falls with us and has done some interesting stuff. He's got great stuff. He's had good summers. But for some reason, he has not been able to just kind of lock in. And so there are some guys that just can't do it in this environment. He may be one of those guys. But Charlie Foster is a guy that will have an opportunity to play professional baseball. And I know a lot of you are thinking, oh, Steve, you're just kidding. No. Remember Eric Sarantola? I mean, there was so much fan fatigue about Eric Sarantola in 21, and we ultimately won the NAFL championship, and he wasn't even on the postseason roster. He's been to the show this year, right? You remember Brandon Woodruff? He was another guy that just could never seem to get right here at Mississippi State and has pitched extensively in the major leagues. And so there are some guys that just kind of figured out a little bit later. And I've said this on the show many times, but it takes a very, very special young man to put on that M over S cap, toe the rubber at Duty Noble Field, and play in front of a 15,000 throng, understanding the expectations that go with this program. That's not speaking ill of anybody, but that's the reality of life. It is a very pressure-cooked environment. And, you know, Chris Simone told me something after 22 I've never forgotten. He goes, man, this is a great place to win. It's a very difficult place to lose. And it's because of the expectations that we have for this baseball program. We just simply don't, it's not just another 3 months for us. For many of us, it's what we live for. It's what we get excited about. It's what you invest in emotionally and financially. And it's the one thing in one sport most years we've been able to poke our chest out about. And so, as a result, the expectations of this program are kind of carried on the shoulders of the coaches and players. And not everybody is built for that. And again, that's just Life and Times in the Big City. And speaking of Lemonis, many of you know by now he is the new head coach at Coastal Carolina. And very happy for Chris and his family. And we have maintained contact over the course of the last year. And especially when, like, one of our guys is, like, hurt or something. You know, he'll call and just, hey, how's so-and-so doing? You know, Lemonis is a great guy. And I know that he burnt some bridges with some of you because we didn't win enough in 22 and 23. And we never got over it. And you know what? As much as we all hated it at the time, not all of us, 2024 was another season where, you know, we got back into postseason play, but we still left some low-hanging fruit out there. And so we probably should have hosted that year. We shouldn't have lost to Central Arkansas. You know, we shouldn't have lost to Austin Peay. We did. And ultimately, that all weighs on the shoulders of Chris Lemonis and his staff. And Jake Gautreaux is making the move from East Carolina to Coastal. I don't know who else he'll bring in. But, what a great development for him. And no matter what you think or who you like or, you know, the reality of it is Chris Lemonis will always be the first coach to win an AFL championship at Mississippi State Baseball. And I remember having a conversation with him. I guess it was after his first year. I think that was right. I think it was post-19. We were talking portal class and that kind of stuff. And I told him, I said, he made the comment. He goes, it's just a matter of time before Mississippi State wins one. I said, we're going to win one during your tenure. And he goes, oh, don't upset the baseball gods. And I was like, no, Chris, let's embrace this. We need to embrace the expectation that we're going to win one while you're the head coach here. And, of course, later that year, Jake Mangum kind of said the same thing to Chris in Omaha. And that proved to be prophetic. But, yeah, I mean, we just didn't do enough in 22 and 23. In 22, you can say, well, you had all the injuries. 23, we just weren't very good, right? That's the thing. You know, you lose, all those guys to TJ, you know, Landon Sims and, you know, Stone Simmons and Brooks Auger. I mean, you have all these guys that you're dependent on, and you lose them. Casey Hunt was hurt early in that year. You know, we just had so many key injuries. And, you know, you look back at it and say, I don't know that anybody could have won. But the reality of it is the Mississippi State fan base, even though we are very gracious at times, that's just one of the things that we're just not going to accept for long, and that's losing in baseball. And when you lose in 2022, you say, okay, we'll bounce back in 23. And then you don't, and then people are ready for you to go. And even with 24, you know, even in the best of times in 24, people were ready for a change. And ultimately, we saw change. And we're in a better spot now, right? You know, Brian O'Connor, obviously, is a guy that's won an AFL championship, but how crazy is it to think you fire a national championship coach to hire another NAFL championship coach? That's the only way this transition would have really worked. Now, there are some people that had that bloodlust, right? It's just, hey, I'll take anybody. I just want change. And sometimes change for the sake of change is poor change. But the next part of that is it says a lot about Zach Selman for kind of understanding how much this program means to all of us. And it was a difficult decision, obviously, because of the emotional aspect of it. But when you look at wins and losses, it made all the sense in the world. And there were so many times in 2024, it just felt like we were underachieving, even in the year we went to a regional and ironically lose to Brian O'Connor in Virginia and see our season in there. But at Mississippi State Baseball, that should be the case, right? When it comes to hiring a coach, we should be able to go pick and choose and be able to go get, you know, very weathered and seasoned and experienced and winning coaches. Mississippi State is not a job where you learn on the job in college baseball. We may accept that in basketball. We may accept it in football. We're not going to accept it in baseball. And, again, I go back to, you know, the hiring of Jeff Lebby. There were a lot of people that said when we made the decision to move on from Zach Arnett that, hey, we need a guy that knows how to run the show. And ultimately we didn't do that. And we went and hired a coach, and again, we're having to kind of learn on the job. And again, that's not me taking a shot at Jeff, because you don't know what you don't know until it's time to know it. That's an important aspect of all of this, right? But on the baseball side, we should always be able to go get a big-time coach. And I think, honestly, we need to be in a position now, really in all sports, that we don't become the first time coach landing spot, right? There are going to be some guys, obviously, that build up a pedigree as great assistant coaches. Jeff Lebby's had some experience with that, and I'm still optimistic about this season. I know many of you were kind of looking at it much like you did the 24 baseball season. You're like, hey, we better win, right? And everybody in the building knows that. But I do like Jeff Lebby, and I like the addition of Philip Montgomery an awful lot, just because of the fact he's been a head coach before. He knows Lebby's system. They have roots back to Baylor together. And I think in the end, having a mature voice and a seasoned voice in the room, on the headset, in practice, is going to benefit Jeff Lebby and ultimately Mississippi State. But to kind of get back to our baseball conversation here, we have got to ensure that we give Brian O'Connor what he needs to ensure that we are competing for national championships. He will tell you straight up, that's why he's here. We're not just here to be a road regional team. We're not here to just occasionally host a Duty Noble Field. We expect to host every year. You guys know it, and we went too long without doing it. And I don't just mean from 22 to 26. It took us way too long to be a top eight national seed. We started doing top eight national seeds in 1999. We didn't become a top eight until 2016. That's just too long. It's too long. And I think everybody, when they're honest with themselves, can admit that. We kind of let ourselves be a little bit rudderless for a while. But now we have the potential to be a dominant baseball program with a coach that knows how to win an AFL championship, that knows his staff. There's a lot of stability. Those guys are a very, very tightly woven unit. And so when you don't have to, teach people on the job, then you can do the job that much better. And, again, we got to hit some home runs, pardon the pun, in the portal to ensure we are the team we all expect to be. But I love what Brian said in postgame last week at Athens. This year one, we laid the foundation. Now we build upon it. And that's ultimately what everybody wants. We don't see, we lost five or six players. Well, the reality of it is that should probably be the case every year for Mississippi State, right? We should have five or six players that are draft eligible that are signing big contracts every single summer. That's what should happen. And I don't mean recruits. I mean active players. Whether they get here from the portal or they come in from the high school ranks and develop over 3 years' time, we should always expect to have to replace a handful of players each and every year that have been difference makers for our team. That's the mark of a consistent program. You're constantly producing pro prospects. And then you got to get the most out of them while they're on your campus. And so, again, great start to the portal class. And it'll be interesting to kind of see what the weekend holds. The guys are going to start making decisions a little more quickly. And, again, we still got time for other teams to lose and end their seasons, and then their players will ultimately go in. There's a lot of programs out there, people are like, they hadn't been any guys to go in from Alabama or Ole Miss or whatever, and it just speaks to the great culture. No, it speaks to the fact those guys won an AFL championship ring. That's what it speaks to. And so there's going to be players from all of those teams in Omaha that ultimately go into the portal. And I don't know if they're good enough to play here. That'll be up for O'Connor and those guys to know. So we'll just kind of see how things play out. But, again, I am encouraged, and I hope that you are encouraged as well. All right, final segment of the show brought to you by the Stark Vegas Clubhouse, the best place to stay in the Golden Triangle, bar none, especially when you're bringing a large group to town, and you should, right? There have been so many times that you've thought about it. Man, wouldn't it be great just to get a big house out in the country somewhere and everybody just kind of be together and roast some marshmallows out over the fire, have mom make some cinnamon rolls in the morning, stay up late, play video games, watch movies together, just be a bunch of kids, right? Well, you can do that at the Stark Vegas Clubhouse. We did it New Year's Day of 25. We stayed for a few days and had a great time. And it was, I ended up being the guy having to run back and forth to the house. But, maybe that won't be the case for you. But it's so nice to have everybody under one roof. right? It's so nice to be able to just have a conversation and get caught up, because it's all the in-between moments that mean so much. There's things always on the phone you don't talk about, maybe you don't text about, but you're always, always, always wanting to spend more time with your family. I mean, that's, I know I do. And, you know, we've got next month, we'll take a vacation, and we're excited about doing that. And maybe you're not going to head to the Redneck Riviera this year. Maybe you're not heading to Disney. Maybe you're not heading to the mountains, but you want to get everybody together. Maybe mom and dad are getting a little bit older and you don't want to travel quite as far. This is a great opportunity for you to do something special, make some memories with the people you love the most. Google the Stark Vegas Clubhouse. When you do, their Facebook page will auto-populate, and you can peruse all the amenities available to you and your guests just 5 minutes away from the Mississippi State campus. It's the old renovated Country Club clubhouse out past the Highlands off 182. Matter of fact, some of the land out there butts up against campus. That's how close it is. Yeah, it's wonderful. Now, when you do that Google search, you're always going to have some booking options pop up too. That's Airbnb. That's Vrbo. And then if you want to save some money, book through the Evolve website and use promo code BSR10. That's BSR, Beautiful Steve Robertson, and then the number 10 to get 10% off your stay. Absolutely incredible place to stay. I cannot recommend it highly enough. And when you get on that Facebook page, you can kind of check it all out. You have the full service kitchen, the wet bar, plenty of parking, 6 bedrooms, 2, soon to be 3 baths. Absolutely incredible. You owe it to yourself to book a stay. All right, let's take a quick look at the College World Series. And in case you guys didn't know, West Virginia ends up beating Troy. And for a while, Troy had the lead. And I think there's a part of us, I'm just happy that Troy is there. You know what I'm saying? Like, I want to be there. But if we're not going to be there, I think Troy and Skylar Meade, it's such a great story. But for those of you that didn't keep up with it, I know Friday was a work day for many people, and we'll have a busy weekend kind of keeping up with it. But West Virginia jumped out early, 1-0. Troy ties it in the second. The Mountaineers answer back with 2 more to make it a 3-1 ball game. But then Troy, absolutely not going to go away. They put up a 3-spot in the third, and then they lead in Omaha for the very first time in program history. Well, Virginia ties it in the bottom half. So it's a 4-4 ball game going to the fourth. And West Virginia Mountaineer pitching throws up a goose egg, and then they score to take the lead. They kept that lead until the seventh. Troy comes through and ties it. And now all of a sudden, it's a 6-out fight to the finish, right? Well, West Virginia wins that by scoring a pair in the eighth to win 7-5. Both teams had 9 hits. Troy had a couple of errors, too. And it's so crazy, too. I don't know if you saw it. Guzman stole home. I mean, what a way for the Mountaineers to kind of make their debut, right? I mean, just absolutely go out there and get it done. I mean, like, set the tone. Man, you love that. I love aggressive baseball. Jimmy Janecki had a really nice game for Troy. Hit a home run, 2-for-4 on the ball on the day with 2 runs scored and an RBI. But just really, really, really excited that there is baseball, but wish that we were still playing. And I think all of you feel the same way. In case you didn't know, Ole Miss loses to North Carolina. And it's kind of an interesting game. And let's kind of take a look here, too. You know, Ole Miss out-hit North Carolina in this game, 8-5. And they left 8 on base. But you know what? UNC left 6 on base, right? And so it's not like Ole Miss didn't have their chances. But this UNC team, we talked about what a great job that they have done on a pitching side. There's just enough offense. They play good defense. They're just good in all facets of the game. Tyler Rabe gets the start for Ole Miss. He goes 5 2/3 of an inning. And that's the thing that you think about if you're Ole Miss. Do you throw Rabe first? I don't know that I would, right, because I want to be in the winner's bracket game. And I'm sure what they're thinking is, hey, if we find a way to win game number one, then we have Elliott and Townsend to win the bracket. Well, now it's a completely different dynamic now. And UNC obviously threw Caden Glauber, who's now 11-0 on the year. But the Ole Miss hits were kind of spaced out. Like, if you look, you know, Decker goes 2-for-5, and Udermark goes 1-for-4. But then Furness, Bassetta, and Federico all go 0-for. in the middle of that order. Pano has a couple of hits, but then the guys behind him go over. And then Reuter gets one hit. So they had the eight hits, but a lot of it was kind of bunched together, and they couldn't get really the big hit. And that's one of those things that's just so interesting to kind of go back and look at. And, you know, working through all this, it's just so incredible to think, you know, that Ole Miss is there and we're not. But that's the way the cookie crumbles. But looking back at this Ole Miss game, you know, they score early in the third. They get an RBI double from Dom Decker to transfer from Murray State. So it's a 1-0 ball game through five, right? Ole Miss scores in the third, and you know, Rabe's doing a good job there. And then in the sixth, Hull homers to tie the ball game. And so now here we are, right, tied, going to the seventh. We'll give Ole Miss some credit. They put up a run there in the seventh. Judd Uddemark singles to left, and that scores Decker. Always in the middle of things, is he? So that makes it a 2-1 ball game for Ole Miss, and they're feeling good, right? Well, then in the bottom half of the inning, UNC manufactures one run. They get an RBI sac fly to tie it, and then they get a single back up the middle to take the lead. And now all of a sudden, you're like, oh, well, goodness. Okay, now it's a 3-2 ball game, and again, it's a six-out fight. But it's Hynek with a three-run bomb in the eighth to put Ole Miss away. In the ninth, Ole Miss gets a runner on to kind of get it going. They ground into a double play, and then ironically, it's Decker that ends up being the final out of the game. And so that's your ball game. And Tyler Rabe gets the loss. And it's just, you know, it's just how life works sometimes, right? You go out there and get a good pitching performance, and you actually out-hit a team, and you still find a way to lose. And again, that's North Carolina executing pitches. So we'll look ahead to tomorrow, just for those of you, again, that are so inclined. It'll be Bracket 2 getting underway. And for many of you, you feel like you've already won, right? So the afternoon game will be Oklahoma and Alabama. And again, this is an all-SEC side of the bracket here. Oklahoma and Alabama will play the afternoon game. The nightcap is Texas and Georgia, probably the one you want to watch. But I suspect most of you, the game you wanted to see was played tonight. And it went the way you wanted to. And don't have game times yet for what's next. But now Troy will play Ole Miss in a loser's bracket game in their side of the bracket. And then West Virginia will play North Carolina. And I like North Carolina in that side of the bracket. You know, again, it's one of those things, like, and this is where I think Georgia has to be a little bit concerned. Even though they hit some moonshots at Foley Field, they're so reliant on the home run. And so, yeah, you can hit a home run there too, but it's not like hitting one at Foley. And I don't know what it is, you know, about that ballpark. You know, we'll still try to figure that out. But, yeah, there's good times to be had in Omaha. And I'll be honest with you. I see some of my friends in college baseball with their pictures and videos and stuff, and it makes me jealous. I want to be there. But I don't want to be there without Mississippi State and all of you. I want to be there to see the Bulldogs win and compete for NAFL championships on a regular basis. I want Bulldog fans to decide that we're just going to take over a bar up there and make it our headquarters and just be there for, you know, 10 days or so. That's what I want. I don't know what you guys want, but that's what I want. It's been too long since we've been to Omaha. And again, maybe we expected a little bit too much from this team. But I wonder, where would we be, like, if Aiden Teal doesn't get hurt the first time, right? If Aiden Teal had that virus and lost a bunch of weight and fouled that ball off his foot and then took a while to come back, did it again. And you know, had that crazy game out at A&M. We ended up winning the game, but man, it was nuts, right? And then, of course, you know, Ryan McPherson. And where would we have been if we just won like two more SEC games? Like, if we're able to close out A&M, even if we're not a top eight, we're probably right there, like 11, right? Some people have said we've been better off being the 15 or 16 seed. The reality of it is there are no easy paths to Omaha when you have to go through the supers. You know, Texas probably had the easiest path, I think. And they still had to deal with Oregon, which was a good club. And Oregon gave them some trouble. But there's just not going to be a pathway to Omaha that it's just going to be one of those situations where you just waltz right in. You know, UCLA probably had the sweetest path to Omaha that we've seen in recent years, but that's fair. As a top one overall national seed, they should have the easiest path. They didn't take advantage of it. And it's so crazy to think that Cal Poly won that bracket and got absolutely skull-drug in the Supers. I mean, it was really like midweek games, absolutely brutal. But that's where we want to be next year. And we don't want to go up there and just be happy to go get a T-shirt. We want to go up there and win ball games and change the decals on the wall at our own stadium. We want to win another national championship. Many of us, for years and years and years, as much as we love baseball, we always wondered if we'd ever get over the hump. And then we did. We did. And I really thought that our second title would come in fairly quick succession. Like once we broke the glass ceiling, we'd be good. We haven't been. And now that's the charge of Brian O'Connor to get us there. All right, let's get ready to get out of here. But I wanted to share something with you. You know, we always talk a little bit about life on the show from time to time. But I had somebody share a quote with me that I thought was very poignant. And maybe you're familiar with it. Maybe I'm not. Maybe you're not. But I was unfamiliar with it. And I don't know anything about this author. But his name is Robert Heinlein. And he says, a human being should be able to change a diaper, plan an invasion, butcher a hog, con a ship, design a building, write a sonnet, balance accounts, build a wall, set a bone, comfort the dying, take orders, give orders, cooperate, act alone, solve equations, analyze a new problem, pitch manure, program a computer, cook a tasty meal, fight efficiently, die gallantly. Specialization is for insects, end of quote. And I think that is so incredible because, you know, one of the things that I shared with my son before he became a father is there are a lot of things in the daddy job description they never tell you about, right? There's just so many things that come along that you have to handle. You know, it's like I'm working through some things today. It was kind of ironic I got that quote because I had a million things going on these last few days. Ever since I got back from Athens, I feel like I have worked harder now that the season is over than I did in season, just because I can't get off the phone. And again, I'm working on a couple of big stories, and that requires a lot of time and effort. And it works against my ability at times to create content, even though we're still doing a good job. But you end up having to do all kinds of other stuff. You're sitting here and you find out, oh, well, okay, it's time for us to get our annual air-conditioned coal flush, right? And you could say, well, Steve, you should probably do that yourself. Well, that's true, but I like to be able to let them service everything because I am not especially mechanically inclined, and I also don't want to get out there and mess something up with my air conditioner. So you handle that, right? And then, like, there's all these little nitpicky things that have been just, like, hanging over my head. I was like, I'll deal with it after baseball. I'll deal with it after baseball. And so tomorrow I got to go patch some potholes in the gravel drive, right? And, I got to go borrow a wheelbarrow from my neighbor. I handled that today, right? And in the middle of all this, things always keep popping up. And that's the thing, too, of it's about versatility, right? One of the things that you have to deal with at times is, you know, when your kid's pet dies, right? You got to go dig a grave sometimes, right? And that they never tell you how difficult that is. Nobody ever tells you when you have to, how difficult it's going to be able to share with a child that their pet died. It's terrible. It is. But it's the ties that bind, right? And I remember we had a golden named Daisy that we loved so much. And we lived in Baton Rouge. She was real anxious, but we moved to the country. She just thrived. She just loved it. I mean, she was a bigger dog, and obviously needed some room to roam and operate, and she was so protective of us. And unfortunately, she got hit, and I had to come home and tell my son about that. And that was so hard, right? And unfortunately, we've had a couple dogs hit out there in 82, which is one of the reasons that most of them stay in the house now. But those are the things they never tell you about. But, you know, the flip side of it is you get to be a Little League baseball coach, right? You get to be the guy that hands your daughter flowers at a dance recital, right? You get to be the biggest fan of the people in your life that need them the most. And so there is some good and bad in all of that stuff. And I think it's important to find balance. It's like I told Dana just last night. No, it was this morning. There's a young lady that sells like pull apart bread at the convenience store close to me that I spend way too much time and money at. But anyway, I'd asked her one day, I said, hey, I'd like to get some of that. And she had like a canceled order or something today. And she goes, hey, I just want to give this to you. And I called Dana. I said, man, I just feel like we're in a good place, man. It's a sign of good living, right? And, you know, we closed some deals this week and got some things done. And it's never all done. Right? It's never all done. And each one of us is going to pass away, you know, with a project that we never got to complete, a vacation we never got to take, a concert we never got to see. That's going to happen, right? That doesn't mean we stop dreaming and stop planning, right? And I think that's one of the most important things in life is to always have something to look forward to. Because if all we do, you know, is think about all the bad things that have happened, it's so easy to ruminate on those problems. And I'm just a firm believer in, you know, you reap what you sow, but I think it's also kind of a garbage in, garbage out mentality. It's like if you always just absorb and hold negativity in your life, you're going to spread negativity. It's just human nature, right? So you need something good to happen. And there have been times in my life, man, I have been so incredibly stressed and depressed. And there'll be times I'll just pray to God, God, I need something good to happen. I need something good to happen. Man, and every time God has always provided for me. Maybe not have been in the timing that I wanted, but I have never gone without a meal. My descendants have never been begging bread. And those are the things that are so important to understand. But, you know, being able to be handsy and being able to take care of your things yourself, because there is no search party being formed to come save you. You got to walk yourself out of the woods. And that's one of the things that I think, you know, being from South Mississippi and certainly just being from the South in general, we have learned a sense of reliance on ourselves and in some respects on each other within our community. And I think that's one of the things that makes it so beautiful, right? You just never know when you just stop to, you know, get some gas or whatever, and pick up some snacks, and then your neighbor gives you, you know, some pull-apart bread, right? Just, hey, I thought you would want this. You know, it's good stuff, man. And it's just like, I firmly believe in the joy of giving. Like, I would rather give Dana and the kids stuff all day long than them give me anything. And it's not like it's not a self-esteem issue with me. But the thing that I have learned about that, and I am better, not great, but I'm better. My friend Mark, you've heard me talk about him before, you know, about Rocklahoma and the Hard Rock and all that kind of stuff, is he loved me enough to kind of call me out. Right. When he was trying to do something nice for me and it's like, oh, dude, I can't accept this. He's like, dude, quit being a jerk and just say thank you. Right. You're denying me the joy of giving. And I never thought about it in that respect. Right. Because, you know, I don't like to be made a fuss of when it comes to that kind of stuff. But when somebody's trying to do something nice for you, you got to think they get as much, if not more, benefit from doing it than you do by receiving it. And you shouldn't be, oh, don't have to do this, right? And a lot of that's fake humility anyway, right? But I just wanted to share that little anecdote with you guys because, you know, life is a beautiful thing. And if you want it to be beautiful, it can be. And there are going to be things that are going to happen to you in your life that are not of your choosing, that are going to be of the negative variety. You don't let it beat you down. You just don't. That's one thing long-term recovery has taught me. You know, it's like the moment will pass if we let it. If we let it, you know, when bad things happen, if we just can get back in the bed sober and sane, there's a good chance tomorrow is going to be a better day. And it may not be perfect, but it'll be better. And that's one of the things that I live by, is that the best is yet to come. I don't look back and say, well, you know, I wrote that big book, you know, about 10 years ago. Man, I still think I've got my time to kill in me. Right, I still think that I've got some bigger things in front of me. But if God doesn't afford me that, then I will learn to live in peace with that. And it's like so many times I've had, goodness gracious, man, we've been so close a couple times to movie deals with Flim Flam, and ultimately something has gone wrong whether it be the writer's strike or COVID or something like that. And I have so many people that know about all those discussions and say, Steve, does it bother you? I said, man, if God wants me to have it, I'll have it. I've done my part. I've written the book. I've done the pitches. I've talked to people. I've fielded the calls. I've hired attorneys. You know, I've done my part. But if God doesn't want me to have it, if he doesn't think I can handle that, then I won't have it. And I got to be okay with that. I got to learn to be at peace with that. And you know what? I am. I am at peace with that. I'm married the prettiest girl I ever dated. I got a cool car. I got a big house out in the country. I got 4 amazing, high-achieving children. And there are a lot of people that know me for all the good things I've done in life. There are more of them than there are that know me of the bad things I've done in life. And I'm not perfect. I can tell you that. I've made some mistakes. I've hurt a lot of people. But the reality of it is that I think I've cleaned up pretty well as an adult. I think that's the case. Now, I'm not getting a haircut for you guys, but that's how I feel. If you hadn't done so, go visit DutyNobleBook.com. Get signed copies of all my sports titles. Of course, that's Flim Flam, Stark Villains, Alpha Dogs, Dog Pile, The Dude, and of course, the personal memoir, When the Bottom Falls. If you need to pick me up, you need some inspiration, that's the book for you, right? That's the book for you. All those copies that you get through the website are signed. And come join us over at jeanspage.com, 60% off the annual subscription price. And come float with us at True West Floats by Stark. Well, she floated, I think, 18 or 19 people today. You could be next. We've helped so many other people. We may be able to help you too. And even if you don't need help with help or anxiety or chronic pain, just having some time to yourself and just kind of decompress could work wonders for you. It does for me. Dial 662-268-7601. You can speak directly to my beautiful wife, Dana. She can answer any questions you may have and get you on a schedule and get you in a float pod and give you the opportunity to let your mind rest a little bit. Until next time, let's all live our lives in a way we make more friends than enemies and people can see a difference in the way we live.